So we're back from vacation. We had a wonderful weekend in California, playing at the beach, soaking up some sun, eating some delicious Mexican food, and hanging out with some family. So we're back with a brand new episode of the Energy is Love podcast. So now you have another place you can tune in and listen to the podcast, Pandora. Sure enough, if you go to Pandora and search out the podcast, you can stream all episodes and subscribe and all that jazz. As always, go to energyislovepodcast.com to find out all the information when it comes to this podcast that we do. And if you are a longtime listener of the podcast, thank you. And if you are a brand new listener of the podcast, thank you. If you would like to receive more of our love and praise as a brand new listener of this podcast, which we're all seeking, right? Love and praise and acceptance, which is actually kind of what we talk about on this episode. But do me a favor and share the podcast with somebody. Tell them about it so that they can tune in and listen. Everybody in the podcasting world, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you'll hear people say, subscribe and rate. Please leave us a review on iTunes. And you can go do that with this podcast as well if you'd like. The reason people say that is because Apple has some magic algorithm that they use. And the more ratings that you get, the higher up you get on their algorithm, scheme, plan, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. Anyways, just share it. Just tell somebody about the podcast. That's the easiest thing to do because it doesn't take any energy other than, hey, you should listen to this podcast that I really like. And you can find it literally everywhere that podcasts are available. So go do that. So before we get started with this episode, it's been quite a while since I've talked about Everyman. And we talk about it briefly in this episode. So I want to use this opportunity to highlight Everyman, the organization, and what they do. You can find out all the information at everyman.com. It's everyman.com. It's kind of the big impetus for why we have a men's group here in Salt Lake City. I went on their first Yellowstone expedition about 2 years ago, and everything started to shift and change for me after that point. It's been a huge catalyst in my life in regards to my emotional well-being and health, in regards to my physical health, my mental health, my spiritual connection, my relationship with my wife, this beautiful woman, Stephanie, who you hear every episode of the podcast. But it's been a big, big thing in my life. So go to their website. The reason I bring it up is because this year, in the next few months, they have a ton of events taking place that you can go and participate in. In July, they have a weekend open source retreat in California. Then in August, they have another one that is in Massachusetts. It's in Racebrook. No, the place that it's at is called Racebrook, but it's up in Sheffield, Massachusetts. They also have another big expedition taking place in Glacier National Park. I believe that one is in August as well. Anyways, ton of events, opportunities for you, regardless of where you live, to go and join them at one of these events. I cannot recommend it enough. Everybody that I've ever sent to one, or anybody that has ever gone to one based off of my recommendation, has had very similar life-changing effects that I have had. So, highly recommend you go and experience it. Also, if you are here locally in Utah and you listen to this podcast and you want to come sit in our men's group, we meet every single week, and it's a wonderful opportunity for you to come and sit in the environment, experience what it is, and kind of get a really good sense of what it means when men sit down together and slow down together and open up and connect together. It's really, 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 really profound. Also, real fast, you can go back to numerous episodes on this podcast and learn a little bit more about the Everyman and the experience. Most recently, we did, I'm scrolling through the episodes right now, episode 139, unpacking what it means to be a good man. That one was recorded with a bunch of guys from Everyman. Dan Doty is one of the co-founders of Everyman. Go all the way back to episode 95. Episode 95 with Dan Doty. Episode 99 we did with the guys that sit in the men's group here in Salt Lake City. There's a handful of them. You can go back and find them and listen to them. And Everyman also has a podcast, which I highly recommend. But you can find all of that at their website, everyman.com. So on today's episode, Steph and I dive into, first off, we had some interruption from an asshole neighbor mowing his lawn, but that's okay because we enjoy sitting outside in the sun. But we dive into the space between where you currently are in life and where you want to be, and that gap that exists, that darkness between where you are and where you want to be and what you want to be doing. And that means in any way, shape, or form, really. So we kind of leaned into that area quite a bit, especially in regards to me and my gap and what it feels like for me in that darkness and what comes up for me in that space. And it was very uncomfortable and very difficult. And we only dipped our toes in, really. Maybe we waded in a little bit up to our ankles, but I have more work to do in that space, and I'm going to be doing it in the near future. And I'm sure we'll talk about it on future episodes. But for this one, that's kind of where we're at and what we get into. Hopefully you guys enjoy. Do us a favor and share the podcast as always. Go follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz. And for now, turn it up and sit back and relax and enjoy another wonderful episode with Steph and Craig. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
I have a story to tell you.
I have a story to tell you. Me first.
Okay, go.
I'm just kidding.
No, if you have a story,
tell me. I really don't.
I was on the last time I flew. Where did I go?
New Hampshire.
Oh, back to New Hampshire. Back to the future. So I'm on the big long flight. It's a direct flight to Boston. And the couple sitting in front of me has a baby with them. Like probably, I don't know, probably not even a year old. Maybe a year old. But little baby. And he's up and active the entire time, right? And the entire time because he's crawling all over mom and dad, and he's looking over the seat at me. So constantly he's looking at me, he's smiling. At points he's doing that thing where he's, you know, like babies will reach their hands out and all sorts of stuff. So the whole time I'm trying to like watch a movie and, but I keep getting distracted by this little boy. Not in a bad way. It's not like he was annoying me or anything like that.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm smiling at him, and I'm every so often I kind of reach up and let him touch my fingers and stuff like that. And he's super cute,
Smiley. Because I love that. I know you, but like from what we talked about before, I would be freaked out. Like, why is this person touching my kid?
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, no.
And I was so pissed off.
I'm sorry.
Because like initially, you know, like when they first sat down and I see the baby and the baby sees me and the smiles and I smile and me and the baby are kind of locked eyes, smiling at each other. Mom and dad don't really think anything of it or whatever. Or maybe they're just too distracted because obviously they're in for a 4.5 hour flight with their newborn. And then as it kept progressing, as the flight kept going on and I kept making eyes with the baby and playing fingers with the baby, eventually mom was like, had enough. It was clear. She never said anything to me, but it was like clear because she like not grabbed him like in a forceful way, but like turned the baby away from me. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. It pissed me off so bad because obviously I wasn't doing anything wrong, but yet I can kind of see where she's coming from. And then I think like, what would we do in that circumstance? And just the whole thing of like, you know, people not trusting men. And literally all I was doing was like getting the boy to smile and laugh and be silly. And that was it. And then once I got off the flight, and this was a completely separate event, different family and everything like that. But waiting to get on the bus for the rental car, family pulls up and they've got a baby in the stroller. And this woman immediately starts talking to the baby and like making eyes with the baby, and the baby's laughing at her and everything like that. And mom is totally fine with that. So there's some really fucked up bias that people have in regards to men and their babies as opposed to women and their babies.
That is true.
And I get it.
It has nothing to do with you.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with me. But at the same time, I think it's such a silly thing that we do. Because we would probably do the same thing in one way, shape, or form.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say?
Hmm.
I thought you were going to say like how they were tired and they let you play with the baby or something. I thought it was going to be this like really neat exchange. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, here's what I, you know, and you're like, that's what happened. I felt so bad.
Yeah, I totally like, because I even thought about that at one point. I'm like, Because sometimes, you know, you just need an extra set of hands or something, even though there's two of them. Maybe yeah. like dad went to the bathroom or something like that mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. But like, yeah, totally hand me your baby and I'll hold the baby. I'll play with the baby. I'll entertain the baby while you guys do whatever it is that yeah. you need to do. But yeah, of course that didn't happen.
Well, I wouldn't hand my baby over to a male or a female that I didn't know.
You'd be more likely to hand a baby over to a female, though.
I think I would, like, MacGyver a sling of my shirt if needed. If I don't know somebody, I'm not handing my child to them. If, like, there's something and I can't, like, the only way I would hand off my kid, I know it's whatever, you know, all the attacks can come from it. I know it's damage, but the only way I would hand off my kid is like if I was going down and I had to pass them off so they weren't. But like that is it.
What scenario is that?
Like if I'm drowning, if I'm going down in a vehicle, which I dreamt about last night, there was no kids in it, though, I would hand my kids up to a stranger. But yeah. I got to be going down. Otherwise, no.
So if you're on the Titanic.
If I'm on the Titanic, I'll pass them off.
And Rose and what was Leo's name?
Leo. Was it Jack?
Jack. Rose and Jack are on the very end of the boat, and you're about to go under. Mm-hmm. You're going to throw the baby up to them.
Well, they're going under too, but I'll throw the baby to somebody. But that's it. I'm going down or it's not happening.
It's so silly. I wish we could change that. I think go ahead.
Well, it's like, yeah, I wish we could change it. But then you have all the things that come out of sex traffickers are getting smarter and smarter. And they're no longer the men that are approaching people. For the most part, they're getting women that are stuck in it and kids to approach because you can trust women. Women are safe. And then the kids go to the women or the unsuspecting moms are like, here you go, nice woman. And then kids, your kids are off playing with this cute little kid they met. And then that's. So that's definitely a fear leading thing. I struggle with that. Sometimes it's like
you don't want to let the kids hang out with anybody.
Right? Sometimes it's like, no, I don't care.
Sex traffickers.
I will.
They're trafficking sex.
It happens and it's so sad and it's like it's devastating and it happens faster than you can think that this might be what's happening.
I don't think it happens.
Excuse me?
I don't think it happens. I think we think it happens.
Are you doing the devil's advocate thing here?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't, because shut up. I wish it didn't, but...
No, but I think the way we remedy this issue, not the sex trafficking issue, although this would probably help the sex trafficking issue, but the way we remedy the issue with, like, parents, women in general, even parents, I'm sure the dad seemed like he was a little bit more okay with it.
Maybe he goes to a men's group.
Yeah, maybe he does go to a men's group. But we've got to go back to small tribal communities.
Yeah.
Where, do you know what I mean?
I do.
Your kids are running around getting picked up and cared for and, you know, disciplined and taken care of by everybody.
Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah.
How can we do that?
I think that's how we fix that issue.
Well, then what happens when you're on a plane with people that are not in your tribal communities?
Well,
because you're going to see another tribal community.
I just won't ever fly without my tribal community.
Oh, I had some weird dreams last night. Part of it was a plane. And the only part of the dream I remember is getting on with the kids and realizing there was like three seats to the left, three seats in the middle, and three seats to the right. I was like, this is the biggest plane I have ever been on. And it was a short flight. I don't remember if it was like a Texas flight. I think it was like a Dallas to Houston or something. Like, I don't know if that's it or not. But I remember thinking, why is it such a huge plane for such a short flight? I'll wait.
No, don't wait. Keep talking.
Are you looking at cues or are you working?
That's stupid. Real quick.
Yeah.
No, don't wait. Keep talking.
So that was a fascinating dream. Like, this is the biggest plane I've ever been on.
On planes that big.
Well, I dream about planes that big.
With a middle row.
Was it three seats in the middle row?
Yes.
Damn.
Three in the middle and then two on each side.
Well, there was three on each side in my dream, so booyah.
I think that's a
I think that's a 797. Yeah, okay.
not a 747.
It was like a 45-minute flight with a humongous plane. Like how? I don't even think it can reach its cruising altitude, something that big in that short amount of time. It'd be like, take off, descend. And then I had a dream that TJ was out here.
Oh, yeah. And TJ Fry?
Uh-huh. And he let us drive one of his cars. After he hears this dream, he's never going to let us do it, though. So he let you teach me how to drift in one of his cars. And we were on the track, which happened to border the Salt Lake, which in this case, the Salt Lake was a very deep, non-salty lake, because that's how dreams work.
But you knew it was the Salt Lake?
Yes, because it was here, and it was the Salt Lake. But we're going, and you're explaining it to me, and instead of a steering wheel, it was just like you know, the emergency brake, like levers.
Is it like the old Hot Wheels thing?
Yeah, it was like just the levers on the right and left side.
Yeah.
And so, but it still had a gas, a brake, and a clutch. And so, oops, sorry. So you're teaching me how to drive this thing, and I'm getting so scared because you're like, faster, faster, faster. And in my brain, I'm like, I had Lightning McQueen. I'm like, turn right to go left, turn right to go left. And you're like having me hold the clutch in the entire time, but for some reason, the gas is still accelerating. Like, dreams are weird. I know it doesn't work, but that's what it was in my dream. And you're like, just keep going. So we are going so fast that I decide I don't dare watch anymore because I'm controlling this. I'm like, we're just going to die. This is like, you have way more faith in me than you should. So I close my eyes because it's too scary, which you,
it's great
it doesn't stop this. It's like, just keep going because I'm no longer going to watch because it's scary. I'm just going to listen to your voice and do what you tell me. So that's what it is. I never want to do the blindfold game. But in my dream, my thing is, I'll just do what you tell me and I'll be fine, but I can't see it. So I close my eyes and we're going. And then pretty soon I'm like, no, I got to turn now. And I flip it to like go right. I like yank it up to like on the right to go left, even though I think we were turning right. But it was way too soon. And you looked at me in terror. And I was like, as we're going and it's just, but we keep like going straight, but the car's sideways. So instead of this like cool drift thing, it's like it never makes a turn. So we just like keep going straight sideways and it's this left thing. And then all of a sudden there's like all this marsh and then we're in the water and you never break eye contact with me of like, I hate you. What did you do? You kill. And I'm like, I feel like I know I've just like, I was too scared and like I ruined everything and you hate me and it's the end. And if I would have, anyway, so then we go and there's water and then it's in water. And water's coming in the car. And it's like, I'm like, oh my God, we're in 5-point harnesses. Like, how are you going to get out? So I'm like looking at you and trying to show you, like, you can get out. So I'm taking the time to get you out. And then you get out. And I'm like, oh, I got to get out. So you get out, you're fine. And then I start messing with the harnesses. And then I finally get it unbuckled and get out. And we're looking at like the train tracks. Like, it wasn't even train tracks, it was like roller coaster tracks. And that's what we were driving on somehow was roller coaster tracks. And part of it was broke off. And it was like, wait a minute. It wasn't my fault. Look, like the track just was broke. I didn't break the track. So we went in where the track broke. Otherwise we were going to stay on the track. And I'm like, look, it wasn't my fault. And then it was like this whole thing of, oh my God, but we still totally demolished TJ's car. I have to figure out how to make this right. Even though the track was broke, it wasn't my fault. I was driving and I ruined everything and how do I fix it? And so I felt so bad. So
quick side note, TJ's been on the podcast a couple of times. You can scroll back and find his episodes. He was on by himself. That's probably over a year ago. They both were over a year ago. Yeah. TJ was probably like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And then him and his wife, Danny, were on like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, what is your takeaway from your dream? What was the interpretation of that? Anything?
Yes, if next time, because he's super sweet and I could totally see him being willing, because he talked about it with Asher, but being willing to be like, hey, I'll teach you how to drift. I know to say no. I will destroy your car. I will close my eyes. We'll go in the Salt Lake, which happens to be a really deep freshwater lake in this scenario. So I'll say no so I don't destroy his car. That's the takeaway. That's not really the takeaway. I mean, that is totally a takeaway. I'll say no.
That is a takeaway.
But I'm not going to talk about the other ones.
Why?
Because it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Like, I see what it is, but if we just stick to the fun part of the dream, that I was drifting on a roller coaster track and we survived, like, it's kind of fun.
You don't want to talk about the other part that stuck with you?
Well, maybe you shouldn't look at me with such discontent.
I don't have discontent in my eyes.
You did in my dream. Do you know what you did in my dreams?
I love how you do that.
I don't do that.
You do that. There's so many times.
I was making a joke right there.
No, it is funny. Then it is a joke, but it's not a joke because you wake up so often angry at me
but
for
what
shit
do I tell
took
you?
Place in the dream.
What do I tell you? I'm like, it's just a dream. I just need it to not feel real for a little while. Yeah. So just give me a minute. Because you're a dick in my dreams, okay? Like, you do some messed up shit. I do not feel... Ah, that's a weird-looking bug. Don't know what that is. That was an alien is what that was.
Why do you feel like I'm a dick in your dreams?
I don't know.
Like, why is that a common theme? I don't know either, babe. That's why I'm asking. I don't think I'm a dick.
I am not the dream whisperer.
You're not a dick in my dreams.
So yet again, I failed. Well, you know why I'm not a dick in your dreams? Because I'm not a dick.
Oh,
you're not a dick
either.
I need
to get you an extra mic you can drop.
You're not. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why I dream like that. But I'm surprised that dream came through because I've been having a lot of really crappy dreams. And that's why I have a hard time dreaming, because when I start to get really crappy dreams, then I shut them off. Mm-hmm. I don't want to remember them. And then when I go to wanting to remember dreams, I can't, because I'm like, no, we don't like nighttime shenanigans. We just won't remember that.
Have you been having quite a bit of increased dreamage lately?
Insane.
Me too.
I hate it.
Me too.
It's not the good stuff, though. It's the trolling back of my mind. My dreams are trolls right now. It's like, you know, the internet trolls that come out and say, my dreams are trolls. I'm not getting insight. I'm getting bullied.
By your dreams?
By my dreams. So my dreams and I are not friends right now.
You should take a minute and tell the listeners how to lucid dream, because you are a very skilled lucid dreamer.
I'm not.
You had
two moments in my dreams where I realized, oh, there was a snake part. I was in a canal and there were snakes coming up and one bit me and I knew I had to look at the snake to identify it, so I knew if it was poisonous or not. And I realized I was dreaming. I'm like, okay, just keep the snakes in. Just float down the river. Just keep the snakes in. They're not going to come out. Just keep them in. And so I was aware that I could control the snakes, but it didn't click enough to dream, to go into the lucid dream. And there was another part. Oh, I think it's when I had to pee in the dream. And I'm like, don't do it. You'll pee the bed. That I was aware enough that I was dreaming, but not aware enough that I was dreaming to control it.
But there are times when you've been able to control it.
Yes.
So how do you do that?
First step is you realize you're dreaming.
How do you realize you're dreaming?
I think it's just when you have the thought, like, this might be a dream. Or is this a dream? Like, okay. Something like comes up. And so then you try to do something. And when I was a child, the first time I lucid dreamed. It was a watch. I made a watch. I looked at my wrist and thought, if this is a dream, I can make a watch appear. I don't know why it was a watch. Like, wouldn't be like Asher was awesome. He did cookies. He made some cookies. Like, that's smart. I'm like, let's see if a watch appears. And the watch appeared. And then at that moment, I knew that whatever, I could do whatever if I knew I was dreaming. And I did. And it was fun. And sometimes I can still do that. But I don't make watches appear. I'm like, I can fly. I can shoot light out of my hands.
See, I don't think I've ever been able to do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have tried countless times. Because there are times in a dream where I will think, this is totally a dream. And I'll be cognitive of the fact that this is a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the awareness in the dream that this is a dream and I want to remember this dream when I wake up.
Yeah.
But as far as like having the awareness that I'm in a dream and then somehow controlling or manifesting or manipulating or creating in that dream, I can't do that for whatever reason. And I've tried. I've tried making a watch appear on my wrist. I've tried flying. I've tried all of these things. But there's always like something disconnected where I can't quite take control of the dream. It still just does its dreamy dream stuff.
Dreamy dream stuff. You know, it is trying to like waking up your conscious mind and your subconscious. It's like it's being awake, but still. So, you know that moment when you're still dreaming But it's time to wake up. So before you open your eyes and you can feel.
Yeah.
Like, try it there. But don't open your eyes. I don't know. And then you have the ones that are like the straight up messages. You know it's a dream. But you know not to, like, you're just going to see what happens. You know, just to.
Yeah, those are different than dreams, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's tapped into some vibration rhythm of the universe that's dumping information in your brain when it has a free moment.
I think of only a couple of times. Usually I like to play when I have that. And it is the flying and the energy and the, like, I love to fly. I freaking love to fly. But only a couple of times have I been smart enough to say, let's try and tap into your subconscious. Let's try and tap into your higher self and see, because at that point you're open. Like, there's no walls, you're open. So
let's try to do some work in that moment.
Yeah. Like, what better place?
Yeah.
Like, you were there, you were out, you were flying.
You're in the flow.
You're in the flow.
You're in the river of dreams.
But it was so hard. You're in the river of dreams. I think, oh, this is cool. I can fly if I want to. I'm going to fly.
Yeah, I wish I could. I've never been able to. And it pisses me off because I dream quite frequently. But yet, I can't get into it.
Are you sure you want to record while you're working, or should we pause?
I wasn't working. I was checking my notes.
Your cue cards?
Yes. I was tapping into my cues. We've had a week off of podcasting.
Yeah.
For
what? Did you make fun of my face? It hurts.
No, for our family vacation to California, which was a huge success. What was your favorite part of the trip?
I said all of it except for coming home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad we had a home to come home to. Don't get me wrong.
14-hour drive.
It was a long ride home.
It was a long ride home. But we made it.
Yeah.
And we had a blast in California. It was fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I think my favorite.
I really like your family.
Yeah, I do have a nice family.
I have a very nice family.
Yeah. So it's the extended family. The extended family in California. My aunts, my uncles, my grandparents, all that jazz. All very loving and sweet people.
Not the, hi, I'll be nice to you, because you hear it's like, they're sweet. They're loving. It feels good around them. I like them. I want to go back.
There were multiple times where Asher was like, we should just move here.
Yes.
We could just live here. And I'm all, yes, we could just live here. In a very, very small one-bedroom house.
Oh, you think we could afford that?
Probably.
Wow. Yeah, let's do it.
There's poor people in California.
I think we passed them by when they were like, can I have some water? Can I have some food? Like, I don't think you can live in California unless you're... I don't think we can live in California.
Unless you're making six figures.
Yeah, and I can make... I don't know how to do it.
What type of figures are you referencing?
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking, and then I edited because I realized it would be bad.
I can make some figurines. Would you like ceramic figures, or...
I can steward it. Look what I can do. Yeah, it would be nice. But then I wonder, would it be like... Would we hardly ever see him?
Our family.
Yeah. Like, if we lived there, would it totally be that thing where everybody just gets busy and you don't see him?
Yeah. That's exactly what it would be like.
So what's the point then?
What's the point of moving there?
Yeah.
Well, they do have the beach.
Yeah, but then also, how often is my... I don't know. If you're down to it, like, I will say whatever we can fit in the van is what we take and the rest can go to shit. I don't care. I will leave everything behind if it can't fit in the van. I will walk away. I already have created a list of what is my priorities, and my priorities can fit in the van.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'm not showing you my list. Don't even try. I'm just saying, if California is an option, seriously?
Let's see.
Can I go?
Can you identify where it's coming from?
Do you want me to go yell at him?
No.
I can't because it's in headphones, so instead of hearing a direction, it's coming through both speakers equally.
Yeah.
There. Over there.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be too loud and distracting.
Okay. Stupid punk-ass mofos.
Should we pause and then return after the lawn mowing?
I would like to.
Me too.
We were on a good flow, though.
I know. It's okay.
Stupid lawnmowers.
When you listen to this, you will not know that we have paused for however long it took.
You might. I think we should leave all this in.
Hold on. Maybe he's fading.
He is fading, but then he's going to come back. You know how it goes.
Maybe he's just going up to the front.
Oh, it smells good, though. I like the smell of fresh cut grass.
Yeah.
And rain. And sun. I like the smell of nature.
Yeah. He totally just killed it.
We'll see.
Yeah. Unless his yard is...
If it's that one, he just mowed his patch of weeds. If it's the one over, there's grass.
Yeah, maybe he'll be done.
Oh, look at that. Maybe he knows. We should put up. We should get a neat... God damn it.
And of course, he's not done.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back. Okay. We'll be back after
be
these
continued.
Messages.
You should do an ad right now. Just kidding.
And we're back from commercial break. Hopefully, with any luck, we have guessed right, and he is, in fact, done mowing the lawn.
So with commercial breaks, you remember where you were, and you pick up where you left off.
Yeah, we left you on a big cliffhanger.
Yeah,
what we have no idea what it was.
So it's going to stay there.
Nor what we were talking about. That was about a 25-minute break.
Yeah.
For us, yeah. Why some asshole mowed his grass.
How dare he.
What a jerk. Little respect for some podcasting, please.
We should get a big sign that we can like...
And we chose wrong. He was not, in fact, finished. So we're going to pause once again so I can go murder our neighbor. Let's just shoot him with like a tranquilizer dart.
Do you have those?
Sure.
Let's get some.
Damn it. Okay, we'll be back. Okay.
Did you hit play?
I hit play.
Are we going to try it again?
Now we're back from our second commercial break, this time much shorter.
What are you going to do if he starts it up again?
I'm seriously going to kill him. I'm going to jump the fence, tackle him, and then run over him with his own lawnmower.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's way bad.
Ew. That's way bad.
Think of the visual.
No, I did. That's why I'm like, oh, this isn't fun anymore.
No, that would be terrible.
Yes.
If he starts up again.
Don't do that.
We'll just.
What?
Bomb his house. Calling an airstrike.
I'm pretty sure that you just got on a watch list for that comment.
Nobody's listening.
At the moment, but
I'll
when
just
you
edit that part out.
Sure you will. You don't edit anything out. I burped and I told you to edit it out. And not only did you leave my burp, you left the part where I said edit it out. So I couldn't even own it like it was cool. It was like, oh my God, please take that out. So, yeah.
So, are you ready?
No. I don't know. I get umphed and then... Yeah.
That's a good
thank you.
Impersonation of a lawnmower.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if people that listen to the podcast really truly appreciate your sound effects.
Well, I think they do. I think you don't appreciate
You are very skilled when it comes to... Yeah. Stephanie has a tendency to communicate via sound effects.
I speak fluent sound effects, emojis, and hand signals.
Yes.
I think I made a post about that. Did I post something like that or did I just think it was cute in my head?
You probably just thought it was cute in your head.
I don't know. I think I posted it.
What would be your sound effect for posting?
Ka-ching! Yeah. That exactly. Ouch. So, I don't even know where to look. Hold on. Let's see if I posted it. Yeah, I hope I did. I don't know what's happening. I can't even find Instagram on my apps. She's pretty. Okay, that's cool, but I don't know what to do with that. That's super... Okay. Hold on. I don't know how to find myself. Hold on. I figured it out.
Ah.
Shut up.
Big, deep,
nope, we're not digging into
question
that.
Question there.
Well, it's definitely not on Instagram. I'm sad. I don't think I did it.
Well, now you can.
Well, now it's too late.
Well, no, because people will listen and then they can go and find your post on Instagram about your sound effects.
And then they'll listen to it and be like, that was a delayed reaction. She did not jump.
I love recording outside.
Yeah?
Yeah. We just have to deal with the lawnmowers and the whiny dog in the backyard. And
as long as she doesn't come out and start screaming at it again, get into a literal argument with the dog.
Shut up. Shut up.
What I say. Hey, hey. It was awesome.
So I have something. Do you remember last night?
No.
when I was talking to you about how I am trying to run everything through this new filter or new barometer to kind of gauge everything against.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
So the idea, this recently came to me, and I've been practicing this lately, trying to look at my life and the things that I think are important and the things that I want to focus my time and energy on, and using the barometer of, will this matter or is this important to me if I'm laying on my deathbed? And if I'm laying on my deathbed, what is it that really truly matters? And so really easily, like right off the bat, there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter at all. And so I've been able to almost automatically let go of a ton of things that were causing me stress, because when it comes up, I just run it through that filter of like, will I care about this when I'm dying? No, not at all. Not in the slightest. I mean, it's silly stuff like, now I can't even think of an example. Last night I referenced our leaky roof, right? That's always a constant in the back of my mind of like, our roof is leaking. We need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's summer and we have beautiful skies and no rain and anything like that. But it's only a matter of time until our roof leaks once again. And it's causing quite a bit of water damage internally within our walls and God knows where else or what else it's doing. And that is something that will not matter to me when I'm on my deathbed. I will not lay there gasping my last final breaths thinking about the leak in our roof and how I never fixed it. I just won't fucking care because it's not important. So I let that one go. That one no longer causes me worry and stress and anxiety because it's not that big of a deal. So there's lots of stuff like that where I just use that new barometer of like, is this important? And by important, I mean, is it really, really important? And if it's not, then I don't need to worry about it, right? And I still take care of things. Like the grass, I mowed the lawn yesterday, which did not interrupt a podcast. I made sure. I checked with all the neighbors and nobody was podcasting in their backyard.
Nobody was calling in an airstrike for you.
No. But obviously mowing the grass doesn't matter on my deathbed. But at the same time, like constantly sitting there worrying about mowing the lawn. Or like, I need to mow the lawn, I need to mow the lawn, I need to mow the lawn. It's growing out of control. I just don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I get to it when I get to it. Same thing with the roof. Eventually, I'm sure we either will or we won't fix it. But to constantly sit and stress about it. So that's what I've been using lately to kind of gauge. I don't know why I got such a tickly throat.
Maybe it's because I'm really excited to teach you.
About this new barometer?
Oh, no, not that. I think it's a great barometer, but what I'm going to do. Like, I hope we're still together when I die, and I hope I go first, uh-huh. And I hope I have enough clarity, enough cognitive ability to look up into your eyes, because hopefully you'll be there, and say, if only you would have fixed the roof, and then go. I'll leave a little note somewhere. It's like, just kidding, I love you, I don't care about the roof.
Oh, you're an ass. We had a beautiful life together.
I'm so excited.
I exceeded all my hopes and dreams and everything that I could ever imagine for a life. Thank you so much for everything.
If only.
With one exception. Just a little tiny, not a big deal, but it would have been
leaky roof,
really
man.
Nice. Would have been really nice if we could have not had a leaky roof.
Oh, my God.
If you want to fix our leaky roof, please contact us at energyisloveppodcast.com. And by all means, come and fix our leaky roof.
He's trying to stop me from doing it because I look at it and I think I could do that.
You could
do that. I'll take the wall out.
You could do that. Then we would have multiple leaks in the roof.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to come and help with that.
But I've been using it on the opposite end of the spectrum too, like in regards to, I thought about this podcast and it's not to say I'm going to lay on my deathbed and think like, oh, remember that podcast that we used to do, but I take a lot of pride in the podcast, and it is something that I think I will look back fondly on my deathbed and appreciate the time and energy that we have devoted to this podcast. So it is something that is worthy of my time and energy.
I was going to make a joke about your audio with that too. Like, yes, audio is important. I will be grateful for that on my deathbed, and you will.
Yeah.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
I think I'll quit teasing you about your audio.
We have good audio on the podcast.
I know. That's why I'll quit teasing you about being so anal about it. That gave me a lot of perspective of how important it is to you.
Yeah. The other thing that has been very, very present in my head lately, in my thoughts, are what the fuck am I doing?
Me too.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? And then I start running through my stresses and my anxieties and my worries and my wants and my fears and all of this stuff through this new barometer. And things like money, they just do not fall on the spectrum of even remotely close to anything I'm going to worry about when I'm on my deathbed. Whether we have $1 million or whether we have pennies in our pockets, it's not going to be important to me when I die. What's going to be important to me is the people that I love, the experiences that I had, the connections and the relationships, seeing all of our children happy and healthy. Our relationship is massively important to me. All of these types of things. So I try to think about that in the perspective of, like, what does that mean for my future in the sense of what am I going to be doing with my life? I always feel like I should be doing something with my life. And if I'm not doing something with my life or with my time, then I'm wasting it, right? So it's that balance of, like, I'm not really wasting my life or my time or my energy if I'm not doing anything. But at the same time, I have a really hard time wrapping my brain around, like, the next 10 or 15 years of not doing something that challenges me, not doing something that I feel is benefiting or serving other people, also serving myself. So then I'm trying to come up with what it is exactly that I want to be doing in this next phase of my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
What do you mean? No, I'm trying to, like, do you want me to analyze you?
Yeah.
No, that's not what you want.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. You've been talking about how much you just want me to listen. So then you're like, what are you feeling? And I'm like, I was just listening.
Yeah.
There's moments when you pour out. I think you're always, I think you can't look at what you want to do with you. A lot of people can, but I think with you, maybe you can look at what you want to do with the rest of your life. But I think you need to look at more. Hopefully this doesn't apply to your relationship with me. However, you are such a morpher. You know, what? Why did you give me a dirty look?
I didn't give you a dirty look.
You did. Your eye went like, go ahead, keep talking. You're danger zone, lady. Danger zone.
Morpher.
Like, you morph. You shift. You change. You're a shapeshifter.
Okay. I evolve. That one I feel much more comfortable
with. Oh, did it sound like an attack?
I just feel more comfortable with that.
Okay, you evolve a lot. And my previous statement, I understand the verbiage can be triggering, but it was 0 and 10 for that. It was, I'm giving you a big compliment. I'm hoping that this will give you some peace. Like, you, I guess everybody's like that. I can see that in myself too. I feel very stuck, like not stuck, but very, I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I want to add to what I want to do, but I don't want to change what I know what I want to do. I just don't know how to make it happen right now. And I don't know which the best course is. But with you and the mad evolving skills that you have, you change so much. It's like, this is what it's about. Right here. Here is everything. Oh, nope. It's this right here. This is so much. So I think that if you box it in, and maybe it is what you're going to do the rest of your life, but I think if you box it into, what am I going to do the rest of my life? The reason you feel stuck with that is because that's not how you work. So if you think, what's going to make me happy right now? What's my next adventure? Then that could bring it to light just a little bit more clear for you, and to the next and on to the next, because you create a lot of things.
I like that. Yeah, I like that perspective.
And mean.
Yeah.
So what's your next adventure?
I think about that, right? I think about what's the next thing that I want to create or the next thing that I want to put some time and energy into. But the problem that I run into, the spot that I get stuck in is it doesn't seem big enough. It doesn't seem...
it's not the size that matters.
It's what you do with it. Now you've made me blush. Well, just to be clear, size is not an issue.
Size is
in this relationship.
Everything is perfect.
Everything is very.
I think we've talked about the mad skills that you make me. Ha! Like he's. Okay, disclaimer. He's amazing.
Yeah. No.
In fact, I can barely walk right now. Like I'm amazed I can like make this chair happen. I'm sitting on a donut, y'all. Now you're really blushing.
Now I can't remember what the fuck I was going to say.
Sorry.
What were we talking about?
It doesn't seem big enough.
Yeah, yeah. I get stuck in that space of like what I'm imagining or what I'm picturing or what I'm like creating doesn't seem big enough. And I don't know if big is necessarily the right descriptor. It's like it doesn't seem... And I know it's all in my head, right? It kind of goes into what I'm going to talk about next, but... It doesn't seem fruitful. It doesn't seem like it's benefiting the bigger picture. It doesn't seem like it's driving towards, quote unquote, where I should be going or where I want to be going. And I know that that is a like self-doubt and hesitation and fear response as a way of keeping myself comfortable as opposed to having to stretch out and be vulnerable and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes into the bigger conversation. I don't know. I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, but I'm currently right in the middle of this training with Everyman. They're calling it their foundations training. And it's like a big 6-month long program with a bunch of guys in the Everyman space. And what it is, the idea behind the training is to become not just like better facilitators for your men's group or to play a role. Ooh, flip flop with the cords and wires. See, I'm not uncomfortable at all. But yeah, it's just a deeper dive into the work that Everyman does. And it's been really, really good so far. It's been really, really thought provoking and challenging and has really expanded my scope of understanding what takes place like at our men's group with those guys, the role that a lot of the work consists of, because it's on the surface, it's one thing, but when you really start to dive in and not pick it apart in a judgmental way, but really analyze it and dissect it, it becomes much more esoteric and much more, way more of a feeling experience rather than a analytical processing experience. And right now, kind of the theme of the month in regards to what they're teaching and what they're covering and what we're going through is fear, and fear in relation to this gap that exists between where you are and where you want to be. So right now I'm at a certain point in my life and it's not necessarily where I want to be. I have a vision of where I want to be, but there's a gap in between those two things, where I am and where I want to be. And in that gap lies untold insight and direction and answers. And I have to spend time in that gap space, not just thinking, but more importantly, really, 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 really feeling and slowing down enough. We move your phone.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Put it over there. I could hear it, but I couldn't hear what was.
I really, really have to slow down in that gap space and get clear enough to sit in that space so that as my fears come up, I can both look at them, but then feel my way through them. Because I've already started the process a little bit. And this morning I was reading through some of the, what would it fucking be called? Some of the work that they've given us. And, as I sit in that space and think about that gap, that area between where I am and where I want to be, and really going into that space with the intention of like seeking out fear and looking for the fear that lies in that space, in that darkness, in that gap, it immediately made me feel super uncomfortable and super afraid. And I immediately could feel it in my body and feel it start to come up inside of me. And I could feel my heart start to beat a little bit faster. I could feel tension in my body immediately. And it was like, ooh, slow the fuck down there, tiger, because I didn't want to go into it right then in that moment. Just because, Maddie was sitting at the kitchen table with me and it felt like that was going to be quite an experience. But I know that I need to and I want to, because I think that in that process of sitting in that darkness and the unknown, specifically searching out fear, like looking for it, not waiting for it to show up, and like recognizing, oh, this may be a fear-based reaction or this has some fear surrounding it, but like really putting on my headlamp and looking for fear and then finding it and then just sitting there with it.
I can take you on a tour if you'd like.
But it's scary because I know that it's going to bring up, like when I think about this gap between where I am and where I want to be, it is all just fear-based stuff of not being good enough, not having enough value. I've also thought about this recently too. What was I listening to? I don't remember if it was a podcast or if I was reading something or whatever it was, but I think a lot of what drove me early on in regards to working with every man and going on some of their retreats and then like helping with some of them and, leading some of the small groups and all this other kind of stuff, really just trying to be integrated into that work and diving into that work, as well as starting the group here in Salt Lake, was just wanting fucking validation and recognition from men, just wanting to be seen by men, like plain and simple, like super basic, just wanting men to see me, and not just men, but men that I love and respect, men that I admire, men that I look up to. I just wanted them to see me and validate me and give me praise, but not in the sense of like boosting up my ego, literal in the sense of like, look, dad, this is what I did. Like, see me, right? Totally. A big part of why I've been so heavily involved in that space, because I just want that. I have this super dire need of being validated and seen and recognized by men. And I know it's because I haven't had that from my dad. I know that, that's all I ever was trying to do with my brothers. I have two older brothers, and our entire childhood was me just trying to be seen by them and have them value me and give me, their love, quote their love, but in the form of recognition and validation. And they didn't ever do that, or it never felt like I received that from them. And same thing with my dad. And so I know that that's been a big part of what has been driving me lately for like the last little bit, the last few years, is seeking that validation from men specifically. And I don't like admitting that. I don't like speaking that. I don't like acknowledging that because it makes me feel weak. It makes me feel, weak, I guess, is probably the easiest way to describe it. It just makes me feel very uncomfortable. It makes me feel like a toddler throwing a tantrum for attention. Like, it makes me feel like it's I don't know. I don't want to sit and elaborate on it further. It just makes me feel weak.
Headlight.
headlight.
Like you can lead into this.
And then I think about...
Nope.
Yeah, babe, I don't want to go into that further.
Okay.
But I think about why it's so difficult for me as well to receive that acknowledgement and that love and that validation, because I have gotten a lot of it in the last 2 years. Do you know what I mean? I've gotten and received a lot of that feedback from men. Like the guys that are in my group have been incredible in regards to like acknowledging me, seeing me, valuing me. Guys within the organization of Every Man, same thing. But it still feels like I'm searching for something more, like that's not quite been enough. And that makes me mad too. Like, why can't I just sit and receive that and have that be enough? Why is it that I'm still feeling like I'm needing that validation from men in some way, shape, or form to give myself value, to mean that then somehow I'm not worthy, but that I have worth?
Are you sure you don't want to get into it?
Yes, baby. Please give me your perspective.
I think you just hit right there where I was going to go anyways, was with your worth. You have been seeking validation, seeking the approval of men, seeking this, but you're seeking it. So I have to be careful with my words, because you'll fly real fast.
You don't have to be too careful.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I think it was, I've been listening so much. I think it was a Brené, but I don't remember which one she was on. I've listened to her on a couple of podcasts recently, and I don't remember which podcast it was on, but she talked about how when you're a child and you're looking for validation, you're looking for that, and you're not receiving the love that you want, instead of thinking that it's that person that is incapable of giving me that love, you immediately withdraw it to, I'm not lovable. So having that in play with growing and looking for that, not feeling like having that verbiage go through your head, the story, the tape that you're playing is, I'm not lovable. So you're seeking the validation. And even though you're getting it, while it doesn't feel like you can take it because it's not the validation you're really looking for, you're looking for a way that you can find that I am lovable. And so it's never going to feel that until you believe that you are lovable.
Okay. I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth.
You're lovable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you look mean?
I look mean?
You're like, huh.
I'm lovable. Come hug me. No, I see what you're saying. And I like that designation between the two, where it's not necessarily... I also like the designation of like, they're just not capable of giving it.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't mean that I'm not lovable. It's literally that, because I think about that with my dad, where he just doesn't have the capacity to give it. And it's not to say that he doesn't love me, and that it's not to say that I haven't felt love from him. And even like, I mean, even at this point in our life, like we just spent the weekend in California with my family, and I got to spend some time with my dad. And, you know, he's very loving in the sense that he's told me that he's proud of me. He's, you know, he says these things that he like loves me and that he's proud of me and that, do you know what I mean? And that I'm like doing a good job as a man and as a father and all of these kind of different things. But it's almost like there's a part of me that has shut down like that receptacle of receiving that from him. So even though I can hear it, there's a part of me that just doesn't feel it.
Yeah.
And so like way early on as a child, realizing, you know, wanting it, and realizing that it was never going to come, because every single time it just wouldn't, right? It would never come. That acceptance and that love and that acknowledgement. So eventually just being like, well, fuck it, and close off that section to receive specifically from him. And so now he may be more capable. He's definitely more capable of giving love and showing love and acknowledging me now, I think, than he ever has been before. But I'm really having a hard time letting it back in. So I can see immediately bringing awareness to this, that there's a lot to feel there. Like there's definitely a lot to lean into that space and fill in there, because that's a very clear description of what I experience, where he does give me love and affection and acknowledgement, but I don't receive it because I closed that receptacle. Like I'm just thinking of my body and all of these like gates that open up for specific people, right? And he's got this one gate that's labeled Dad, and it's him, and that gate just got closed from a very early age. And not only did it like get closed, it was like, we're just gonna go ahead and cement that motherfucker over and wall that shit up because there's no need for that anymore. So now it's like trying to work its way around to receive it instead of just like going in and really feeling my way through the process of opening that gate back up. But I don't fucking want to.
Okay.
I love when you get like afraid of me, I suppose.
Oh, is that how you interpreted that?
Yeah, like your immediate response of like, okay.
No, it was like, okay, we're not getting anywhere with that. I hear you. That's where it stops. That wasn't fair. That was like, I'm not going to go banging on that cement wall right now because you are not looking to let it open.
Yeah, but I need to. And I realize that. Because I need to for me.
Okay.
Like it doesn't really have anything to do with him anymore. And in some way, shape, or form, having that gate closed of receiving his love is undoubtedly affecting me and other areas as well. Perhaps in this bigger, broader area of receiving validation and acceptance and love from men in general.
You're not afraid of receiving it.
What am I afraid of then?
Of wanting it and not getting it. I'm afraid of the emptiness.
Yeah. Yeah, like I remember what it feels like to be that little boy of wanting it and not getting it, and how hard that feels.
Yeah.
And how shitty that feels. But I have this big intellectual part of my brain that understands that that's not the way things are anymore.
It's not. You're not a little boy anymore.
Not a little boy anymore.
And your dad tries.
My dad does try.
Doesn't make it all go away, though.
No, it doesn't change that little part of me that shut that gate a long time ago and walked away from it because it hurt too much.
Wouldn't it be nice if our now cognitive awareness would override old patterns and things like we know better, however, like, like, how do you get to that spot?
Well, for me, what I have to do is go and sit back in that space of what it felt like to reach out for his love and his acceptance and his validation, not receive it, and then what that felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that, at least for me, that's what I have to do. But for me, that feels like something that I should do.
Yeah.
Is go back and sit in that space of what that felt like. And I think that will open up some space in regards to being able to then not just receive from him now, but also from other men, and big picture help me recognize that I am lovable.
Yeah.
Because for sure there's that part of my little boy brain that was like, oh, I'm just not lovable. Oh, there's clearly something wrong with me because I'm not receiving the love and acceptance and validation. And so it must be because I'm doing something wrong and there's something wrong with me. And I still think that. I think that with you. Where how often is our argument and our frustration and our fights over you trying to love me and me not letting you?
So I just need to stop trying to love you. I'm getting that message too, buddy. Now what?
That's not what I mean, baby. I don't want you to stop trying to love me. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I see. Wait. My walls went up.
Because we brought you into the equation.
I am doing so good at like hearing everything and resonating and like realizing I can see your dad now. I don't know what he looked like when you were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I have your perspective of what it looked like when you were growing up. But regardless of the amount that this is going to piss you off, I see a lot of similarities of you and your dad. So I know what it looks like when somebody's trying to seek love. I know what that looks like from your wonderful lineage. And I see your dad from this point in time doing all the things. Not wanting to be too much, afraid to really go in, wanting that. But then he's also got his own, like, he's not, everything he does isn't 24/7. How can I show my love? Like, that's not what he's doing. He's still doing his own thing. He's got his own. But when he's in those moments, he utilizes them the best he can. So I have that and I'm in it. And then you said the other thing. And I was like, yeah, tell me again, you don't want my love. I know. And so that took me out of that. I'm sorry, but that took me out of my, I'm here holding space to your love is garbage. Nobody wants it. That's my own shit that just went boom really loud, really fast. I'm like, ah. So I'm sorry that that triggered me. Please continue. I am aware now and I'm back in my my encompassing space mode. It just was a moment of, oh.
Well, it's 100% okay. I don't want your love at all. I want nothing but your love.
Okay. That is not okay.
I want all of your
love. Baby, we were doing so good. We'll get to this later. Stay with your dad for now.
Well,
please stay with your dad for now. I promise I will be open to this.
This is what I'm talking about, though, is that small dynamic with my father from a very early age mm-hmm. has shut me off to receiving from, I don't know, we'll just say everybody to make it simple.
To a point.
Correct. Yeah. Definitely not to the level that I do with him, but I think about it to a point with everybody.
It's like, it's okay at first when it's new. And then I think it's once you start to hope for it or like realize that you feel it too, then that's when it's like, when you want it.
So I want you to be clear that it's not, I don't want your love, Steph. It's that I have a part of me that is trying to process from a very early age.
We all have those parts. I have my own with that.
Yeah.
Like, I am seeking men's attention. Like, ha, me too. That's how I live my whole life. Now I'm like, fuck you, man. I'm not paying attention. I don't care if you give me your attention or not. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And there's really good men in my life. You've got some friends and they're super amazing. But I don't want to bond with them. I don't have that. Like, no, because I know how this shit turns. I know how it goes. I've been down this road more than enough times. You can be my friend over there. And I will keep you at that distance. But I know what happens after that. So you're not getting any closer than that. And
do you think that's a dynamic in our relationship right now?
I don't think it was, but I think it is now. I think I was way, way, I thought everything was different. And then I've got some walls up now. So now it's like, you can get this far.
So you're...
Don't turn this. Oh, motherfucker, you blame shifter. You just Julia Roberts Mexican to me. You're a blame shifter? You're blame shifting? I'm calling a timeout. No, flip back. I'm honest with you saying that I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I resonate with my child wounds and your child wounds. But you do not... Just because they resonate strongly doesn't mean you get to get out of where you're going and go into fix-it mode so you can avoid your feelings. Go back to your gap.
But I'm really
or you don't get my gap.
I'm really good at fixing things.
Yeah, you are. So why don't you work on yourself?
Because it's really, really hard.
I know. I don't know how to do it either.
Well, I don't think we're supposed to do it by ourselves. I think that's the big misnomer. And that's probably the biggest thing that I have had to struggle in learning is that I shouldn't be doing this by myself.
You can't do it by yourself. It's a community. It's a tribe. You need to reach out for help. You can't depend on anybody else for your happiness. When you look to others for your validation and support, you will never find it. It is not about, you can only find it within. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
Yes. Yeah.
So one hand saying it's all about community, one hand is saying it's all within.
That's a double bind.
Then I'm just going to look at my community inside.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some personalities. We're going to be friends.
That's a double bound up gap.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Everybody's got the right way to do it. And guaranteed you're doing it the wrong way.
Well, for me, I realize that I need help. And I also realize more and more and more and more how difficult it is for me to receive help.
Yep.
even though I tout it as a very important thing and, you know, nobody should, you know, think that they don't need help. And, but yet I still resist it so, so much. And that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can, for you right now, what would feel like the best way to help me in this moment? I'm going to try to be open to receiving your help right now.
The only thing I can think of, the only thing that's popping in my head right now over and over, and I'm like, that's not enough, that's not enough, is maybe it sounds sick, I don't know, is like, I just see you just laying your head on my chest and just like taking a breath and not doing anything and just feeling safe with me and whatever comes. But
that feels very, very good. I like the idea of that.
Maybe that's where you're open to receiving help. You have to figure out how to be open to it.
Yeah. You gotta get closer to the mic.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I'm not gonna make fun of you anymore because this is on your deathbed list. Like, yes, this matters. So I will no longer tease you. Before I was like, oh my God, you're such a dork. And I'm not gonna be close enough. But I respect that. I am. Tell me beforehand. I won't tease you. And eventually I'll stop giving the long spill of why I won't tease you.
I see how much this issue that we're bringing attention to right now in regards to me, and I mean, in one way, shape, or form, I think this is some of the darkness that lies in that gap for me.
Yeah.
That will help me get from where I am to where I want to be. And I see how much this issue affects me in regards to my relationships. And it's my relationship with you. It's my relationship with our children. And it's my relationship with the other people that I value in my life. And I see how much this issue is affecting that. And that's why I want to do something about it. That's why it is something that is important to me. I do not want to lie on my deathbed and look back and think, God, I wish I could have, you know, been more open to receiving love and validation and help and acceptance from all the people that I valued and cared about in my life. Because I see how it affects those relationships. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to do in this moment, especially on a podcast, other than continue to talk about it, because I really just have to sit in it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I really have to go back to that little boy and remember what it felt like to, you know, and it's not just my dad. I can see the ways that my mom didn't do a great job either. Mm-hmm. As well as a ways that I didn't, you know, do a great job of receiving her love.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I'm always so hesitant to like call my mom out because that's really funny too. I think that's really common where you typically have like a parent that you revere and you don't want to, you know, speak ill of them in any way, shape, or form. But she's a human. And, you know, she did the best that she could. So did my dad.
That's funny. Like, how that, like, guys are usually the ones that walk away and the ones that didn't care and the ones that don't love. And the women are the ones that are doing the best they can. Now, this is not a shame on women because, yeah, women rock. However, guys, you know, I don't know.
What were you going to say?
I look at you and you are absolutely rocking it. And you're not perfect. Like, you're definitely not perfect. But you, I can absolutely see, fit into that category of doing the best they can. Yeah, look at my dad. And him and I butt heads like no other, you know? But not like we used to, but it's very... We've got a lot of distance. But I can very much look at him now, even though I still get pissed at things, and see he was doing the best he could. But then I look at others and I'm like, if that's the best you could do, like, how are you still alive? That's nothing. That's that. So it's not, but I don't know. I guess I was going to go off on a tangent that I just talked myself out of. It was going to be guys are garbage, women do the best they can, and that's where it stands. But that's not.
It's not the case.
No, that's what I was going to say. That seems to be the scenario. That's not my opinion that seems to be what is common. Like if a guy messes up, he's garbage. If a woman messes up in the parenting department, she was doing the best she could. So I just think we could bring a lot. And my favorite word, balance, not really, but that could maybe level out a little better.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of men that just leave.
Yes. There are women that just leave.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely far more men. I've experienced men leaving my whole life. But then there's the ones that stay. And the ones that stay tend to bear the weight of the ones that left.
Yeah.
So that's hard too.
That's not fair.
That's not fair. As you're sitting over here like, I stayed, but I get all the shit.
I'm doing the best that I can.
But I see you that way.
Yeah. I see myself that way too.
There you go.
Yet I have a hard time, you know, receiving that, even for myself.
I know.
So I really do have a hard time just receiving my own love and my own acceptance and my own validation.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's all fucking intertwined into the space of that darkness that lies in the gap where, you know, like I even question my own validation. This is really fucking weird. This is mm-hmm. just coming up for me. Like the whole idea that somehow I'm going to give myself praise and acknowledgement and love, right? We'll just boil everything down to love. I'm going to give myself this and I'm going to receive this and I'm going to open up to this. I can't even trust that because at some point I know, because it's my own internal dialogue and my own shit, that at some point that is going to shift and change.
Mm-hmm.
Where if I even receive that love and acceptance from myself, it's only a matter of time until that motherfucker says, haha, loser. Look what you did, you fucking weak pansy. Like, quit being a bitch and get up off the fucking ground and keep, you know, it's only a matter of time until that dialogue kicks back in as well. So I don't even want to receive the love and validation for myself because it's only a matter of time until it flips and it hurts. Well, now I'm just all gone, done, fucking clustered up and don't have the opportunity to do anything other than sit in fucking darkness and sad. Huh. So I'll just disconnect and run away.
Okay. That also changes.
What also changes?
Like, you know that with all the love's going to shift
mm-hmm.
to where it's like, ah, you know, all the woman bashing terms that you like to use. It's okay. Breathe. You didn't. But that shifts to when all the self doubt and mutilation is done, then you go back to the love. So it keeps going back and forth. So it's okay if you, like when you get into the shit, that's also going to shift.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would really just like to, you know.
Me too.
Remain open to receiving love and acceptance and validation from everywhere, including myself, including the universe, including my father, including you, including our children and my friends and my family. Let me receive it all.
Maybe.
Because I am worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve it. And I deserve it simply from existence, not from having to prove myself worthy of receiving it. I deserve it simply from being here. I have done enough by merely existing in order to receive it. Because we all do.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like,
No.
Because think about it. Think about the little fucking baby on the airplane that we were talking about at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
All I was trying to do was show that little baby a little bit of love.
That baby got it, though.
Yeah.
Because cool.
What did that baby do to deserve it? Not a goddamn thing. I don't know. Maybe that baby's a piece of shit. Maybe that baby breaks things.
That baby probably does break things.
That baby
things.
Probably takes Guaranteed. His own diaper off and shits on the floor and then laughs maniacally.
Oh, my God. That's...
There's babies that do that.
I know.
There's bastard babies out there. And maybe that baby is one of those bastards.
Maybe. Maybe. It's probably like that for, you know, the parents, but then looks at you all like, ooh, look how cute I am. I'm a manipulative little baby.
But we all deserve love and affection and acceptance.
Yeah.
Merely by our existence.
Yeah, but there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
That's
you
pretty
do.
Triggering for
that
you.
That is, because I'm sorry, there's a big difference between the... baby that's oohing and gooing at you on the plane and being all cute, receiving love, or any baby that's crying and throwing shitty diapers, still give that goddamn baby love. Then the person who is telling you you're not worth shit or violating your body and doing like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say, oh, I love you just because you exist. No, go fuck off.
But what if we take those evil people, those bad people, and take them all the way back to when they were babies? Because something happened in between point A and point B.
Yeah, but that... Okay, let's do that. That was my genie nod. Yeah, so...
All I'm saying, what I was trying to get at was...
You're worthy of love.
Yes.
You are worthy of
and
love.
And I'm worthy of love, not because I have proven myself worthy or because I have done enough to prove myself or I have done enough to earn... earn that love.
Well, it's
simply because I am.
But the... Yes. But the way you live your life also, like... There's definitely more good in you than bad. You don't...
I just had a big yawn, sorry.
I don't think it's just the existence.
So you think that there's some people that aren't worthy of receiving love?
No. No, I'm not saying that.
What if it's that there's some people that aren't worthy of receiving your love?
Oh, there's definitely people that are not worthy of receiving my love. I mean, they can receive my love from afar.
Because that's the distinction, right? But I'm not giving them
love. Okay, so loving from afar is a loving up close and personal. Like, I have a multitude of people in my life that's like, the fuck you love. Like, yeah, get away from me. I'm not going to be in your space. I send you love. I want good things for you. I'm not going to do anything to make that happen. I'm not going to do anything to hinder that. I don't want to think of you. And when you think of... When I do think of you, I'll just send you a little bit of love and try and get my head somewhere else because otherwise you just fuck up my whole day and you don't deserve that power. So, yuck, go over there. And then there's people that I don't know that I feel compassion for, that I feel love. I'm like, oh, that's easy to send love to that person. There's some people on Instagram that I follow that are just doing amazing, beautiful things. And I don't know, maybe they're a piece of shit outside, but I don't think so. Like, I have love for that. And then there's people that you just hear about that I don't have love for. There is... I'm incapable of loving everybody. Whatever. I'm not all love and light. I am incapable. There are people that I do not send a little bit of love for. I send, like, awareness to. And be like, I hope that you have enough light in you to see the harm you're causing and you stop. I hope that you can find that little bit of compassion to where you see the pain and you stop. I hope that you get caught so you can stop. I hope those things, but I don't look at you and be like, oh, you just need a hug. Probably, but no, I don't do that. I'm not big enough for that. I'm not evolved enough. So I don't believe that people deserve love just because they exist.
What's the thing that Brené says when it comes to
things?
She does say a lot of things. Like the distinction is... Not everybody deserves your vulnerability.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different. That's a big difference. Love and vulnerability.
They kind of go hand in hand, though. I mean, we could apply the same concept to, you know, love and acceptance. Not everybody deserves it. At least yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that do, then by all means, they do. And everybody as an individual person deserves love and acceptance merely by their existence, but it doesn't mean that they deserve it from everybody, and we don't need to beat ourselves up because we're not like all love and light and everybody's a beautiful, wonderful being that is deserving of love. Like, some people can, you know, there are those people out there that only a mother can love, and that's okay. They're still receiving that. Does that make sense?
I think everybody should feel love. But I cannot give love to everybody. And I don't think vulnerability and love are one and the same. I think in order to be love with somebody, that you do have to have vulnerability. But I have love for some people in my life that I do love. But I love them from afar. And it's not the fuck you love, I hate you love, or not really hate, but the fuck you love I was talking about. It's no, I love you. But I'm not showing you anything. I will not be vulnerable with you. And if you want to be vulnerable with me, fine. You know, I'll have a space. I'll be compassionate. But you're not getting that back from me. That line is done. It is gone. I love you. But I will not. And then there's people in my life that I'll show you me. There's not a lot of them. But So I don't think they go hand in hand. I think in order to really love somebody and have that strong bond, you absolutely have to be vulnerable with them. I think that goes hand in hand. But you do not have to be vulnerable with everybody you love.
It's good stuff, babe. That's a mic-dropping ending to the podcast.
I was going to invite Brené Brown on. I'm like, if you have a difference of opinion, you want to come discuss it with us. Like, come on.
There may be a day when we get to interview Brené.
I'll be so retarded. That's the word we can't use. You should edit that out. I won't be able to talk. I'll look at her and just be like, oh, my God.
Flibberish, gibberish.
Like, that's amazing. So what are we going to talk about today? I love you.
One day.
You're wonderful.
She's on our list of people that we would love to sit down and chat with.
I would like to, I think I could talk to her if it wasn't, I would like to just talk to her.
And you don't think we could do that on the podcast?
No, I do. I do.
So I've got a scenario for you.
But I want to just like talk to her.
You just want to talk to her.
Yeah.
So what if we spend 2 hours just talking and then at some point jump on and push play and then just continue talking?
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah. I was thinking the last time I did that was with Janelle and it was like a 10-hour ordeal and tequila was involved. Brené doesn't drink, so that won't work.
Oh, yeah. She's...
She is soba.
The fuck was that?
That was a raptor.
The raptors are back.
I think it's a motorcycle for... I don't know. It was a brrr. TJ heard about what I did to his car. He showed up in another one.
I love you.
I love you.
Podcast... To be continued. No, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of
The Energy is Love Podcast.
With
Craig and stuff.
And disrupting sounds in the background.
You weren't going for anything real. What? I mean, you were going for funny and I was like, is this where I'm supposed to say a line?
Line. What's my line?
You know why I'm not a dick in your dreams?
Hmm.
Because I'm not a dick.
Oh,
you're not a dick
I need
either.
To get you an extra mic you can drop.
You're not afraid of receiving it.
What am I afraid of then?
Of wanting it and not getting it.
And in that gap lies untold insight and direction and answers.
It's a community. It's a tribe. You need to reach out for help. You can't depend on anybody else for your happiness. When you look to others for your validation and support, you will never find it. It is not about you. You can only find it within. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
Yes.